Thanks for inviting us to present Exotoxin here in this context. I want to make a little introduction of how we came across to run Exotoxin as artists. So in the beginning, the outcome of the project was very, was absolutely unforeseeable. So we were there and we started in a way as like a conceptual piece of art. We just started with an interest in the buildings and with the research on what is the architect, why did it happen that this architect was completely forgotten, that it's not recognized in the cultural world, and how are the circumstances of the premises, what about the neighborhood, what social conditions are here, and so the history, so this is a research work that a lot of artists do when they start to work. And somehow we developed Exotoxin on a double track. We, on one hand, we were there and we developed it and it popped up in other artworks, like with images, maybe just like text pieces or in videos. So the reflection was present in our artwork. But on the other hand, we kind of pushed the project forward in reality, and we tried to get deeper into the possibilities of this surrounding. Probably very basic for this approach was that we both in our artwork are very interested in the identity of space. And in terms of Exotoxin, it became very personal because the identification with this space became very personal. Everything started when we moved in this building, which is one of the buildings of the former Exotoxin compound. And we moved in the year 2000 and took this photograph, which quite expressed the feeling towards the setting. And we kind of took immediately this building like an image for our artistic practice, like something that this image reflects this kind of very complex, but very interesting, but somehow also absurd and forgotten reality. So there are so many questions when you see this architecture, and so we kind of wrote a narration on it. So we just went on and we tried to simulate what might happen if this has a future. What might the future be on this in this area, on this compound? Especially because it was in this state of neglect and almost a bit of picture of failure. And then these kind of places become a projection point and you start to think, to create a concept. Yeah, and the further we went in this now I'm talking about years, the further we went in this, the more kind of our artistic practice merged with the project that happened to start in reality, because we started to involve more people, and the thing just became, yeah, started to shape into the project that in the end finally happened. And that's probably a very important point, that art realizes a project in reality, and that there's somehow you can't really make the distinction anymore. Yeah, and we happened, by this story, we happened to run a real estate project. This is the black part, is the image of the whole compound, which is very big, and we talk about the Rotoprint factory site, which is that produces printing machines here until 89. After that, the city wanted to sell the compound. It's 10,000 square meters, about 11 buildings, and since 2007, the ex-Rotaprint non-profit limited liability company owns the building and the whole compound in a legal construction that can be seen as a model. And I'm going to talk about the legal construction quite a bit later. Les and me, we are the managing associates of ex-Rotaprint, and we work very close together with two architects. And apart from that, there are a lot of other people on very different kind of levels involved in the project, of course. There are a lot of people involved. This is an old computer table. what I described in the beginning, the picture of the building has a certain energy because the whole compound is a listed building, so it's a historic landmark, especially because of buildings from the 50s. And for the project ex-Rotaprint kind of applied what I said before, that the architecture kind of gave a certain energy to the project and also creates a kind of sign or symbol for ex-Rotaprint, especially this one which is right standing in front on the street and on the corner, which is very visible from the outside. And also brought the project in a way into a bigger public and also into a cultural audience which easily is attracted by these kind of images, and then you can bring the content with you of the project you want to install. So it looks very, it has very diverse kind of architecture also from around 1900, and this is the special character of the compound to have very different kind of buildings, and that means very different kind of spaces. And there are around 90 contracts today running on the compound, so around, it's hard to guess, but around 300 people every day enter the compound to do their work or to be clients or students or what. They're very different kind of things. I'm going to explain this later. So it has a weight in the neighborhood. When we started the project, we thought very much about the neighborhood because we were already there, and we had a very deep insight into the poverty, the problems of unemployment, of alcohol, of drug abuse, a lot of migrants that live there like their first years in Berlin, not yet speaking German, and these kind of problems that are very, very visible in the area. And we thought, if we ever manage to start a project, we want to include this kind of people that are already there. So this was one very, very important goal for the project development, to do something that takes people that are already there with them and also maybe try to make some achievements for their reality. Which is quite the opposite of what usually happens when in a socially low area something starts to develop. Usually in the very end, after some years, people have to leave. But we interpreted it in a different way because there was so much poverty, there were also no investors involved. There were no investors in Wedding at the time busy to buy anything. They were all in Friedrichshain or Kreuzberg or Prenzlauer Berg, basically. So there was a kind of protected space because of this socially low area. And we thought we have to stay very close with this situation. This was this kind of point zero when there is no investment done, the city has no ideas, they just keep it, and they just didn't, they had no, from the urban development, from this perspective, they had just like taken their fingers off it and just leave it as it was. And we thought we have to use the situation, which is like this kind of nobody does anything, and this is the chance for an alternative to happen. Because when everything works, alternatives might usually don't take space. But if nothing works, there may be this kind of little hole to get through with an alternative project and an alternative model. And we did two things at that time. First, we wrote a concept of a socially integrative and long-lasting project development of the whole compound, and we approached the city to buy the compound, which was quite a thing. And then, at the same time, we founded an association of tenants, of the people that were already there. And just to give the idea of the new development here in this area a bigger voice, and to get more political weight as well when there are more people involved. We had this time of fights. Of course, there were so many things open at that time. We had to do a lot of research on how this would work financially, what could be the economic basis, what are the legal conditions, what would face us if we take over this responsibility, and we had to professionalize ourselves a lot. And that was very, very difficult because we started, and this is one basis for ExpoTalk, we started in this heterogeneous group of people that just happened to be there coincidentally, which were a stainless steel worker from Turkey and a carpenter from just running his workshop there, and some artists and somebody who works in a project that works with unemployed people. So there were we were very, very different kind of people and completely different mindsets. And that's something that went very into the project of Exeter Print, because we wanted to include all these people, but we had to find our mutual goal. So we had to find an agreement on how the development, what should be the goal of the development. And the very, very problematic point was money. Not only because nobody of us had money, this was kind of connecting us, but the fantasy of profit is something that could have killed the project right at the beginning. This was so strong that the idea of, as soon as you think about the real estate, there's the idea of profit, of a personal profit, and people just thought they could maybe have their pension from this project, because they once in their life they feel it's the right place. And then we drove that discussion very far, and we said what we want is to take this compound out of the normal real estate logic, to install a different way to develop the real estate, and in the end we decided on keeping all profit out. And this enables the project, and in our case it enables the project to take place. On the other hand, we had a lot of problems to be taken serious by the city, that we really would do it. That's easy to imagine. And we had this day when there was suddenly an Icelandic investor announced on our compound to visit, because he was about to buy 45 compounds spread all over Berlin in one package. And we said, no, we already went so far, we don't want this Icelandic investor here now. And we were well prepared, we put up this huge banner. And it was also, of course, it was a hint for him, but it was also our conviction at this time that there is no profit to be made here. This was very clear for in this area, a listed building with a lot of maintenance that has to be done, there won't be any profit, also not for the Atlantic investor. And because this image brought us quite far, because we were so many people on this image, and also so different people, so and somehow there was in politics among some politicians, they changed their mind and then thought like, okay, this is an interesting project because it's not only artists wanting to keep their cheap studios, but they are also social institutions, they are also businesses, so there's also social, apart from the cultural, there's also social and economic factor in this development that might be good for the, also for the whole neighborhood. So we were able to buy. And we did it in a very special model that we developed in a way in the background while we were fighting a lot of fights over more than 2 years. And the model is, the character of the model is that, that the profit, like individual profit, is being completely pushed out of the project. The model exists based and money is spent on goals that we defined. So it's a special circle of money that we installed. The model is based on two contracts. That's a heritable building rights, and the second contract is the contract of the non-profit limited liability company. And the heritable building rights basically means the ground is owned by somebody else and we own the building. We own this heritable building rights last for 99 years. And that means we can do everything there, but we can't do one thing, and that's selling the compound, because the ground is safe. As a non-profit company has, like the legal status of a non-profit company means that you can make a profit, but you have to put it in special aims. And so the money on our compound is fixed to, has to be spent on the maintenance of the historic landmark, which is very important because it needs a lot of maintenance. And we installed a second goal for the non-profit limited liability company, that's to promote arts and culture. So after having done a lot of renovations, probably after years, in the future, there's going to be quite an interesting. Exotropin can have a lot of money to do cultural work or to promote cultural already existing institutions, or we can found one or whatever. So this is the long run. This picture is a kind of summary of the legal construction. And very central is the non-profit limited liability company, and of course, very important is the whole capital of the company and of everything we can do are the rents. So everybody pays rent, still pays rent, not high rent, but reasonable rent, and everything is paid with this. That means the annual lease. Is paid with this, and I have to explain it shortly, the lease, so that the owner of the ground are two foundations that have the goal to prevent real estate speculation. So this is a very special partner as well, because they have also this aim to install project developments that cut this kind of spiral in the market, and this kind of buying buildings and selling it and then having a profit in between. We took up a building loan to do the renovations, and the building loan also paid off with the rent. And of course there are people in the company, so we have partners, most of them are tenants. And we also have still the association Ex-Ultraprint, which is also a partner, so this is a platform for all tenants to participate in the project without having this big hurdle to become a partner of the company. Yeah, and the rest you see is a long time period and a lot of things to do. This is all last year. We spent a lot of money. This is all I want to say with this stage. So very important, this, Baron already mentioned it, the social plastic, the social sculpture, as we at one point started to name it. Of course, very central of Ex-Ultraprint are the people. The whole project makes no sense if it doesn't somehow is filled by the people. And this the project was from the beginning had this character of this diversity, because we had different people on the compound, and we kind of formed this into a concept to not fill the compound like a monoculture, which easily happens, like you have just artists in it and then it's just one thing. But we try to we saw this little at the beginning we saw it very interesting. It wasn't fully rented out, but we saw exactly this nature, it's so interesting. And we formed it into a concept that is always also written down in our heritable building rights, that we rent off 3/3 of the spaces, and 1/3 is social work. That means there's a school that teaches German to immigrants, there's a school that that enables kids that failed in school to make a diploma. There is a jobless the project with job network with jobless people. There's also further education for adults, and these kind of things that are very important in this kind of district. And you all almost have the feeling like every morning half of the neighborhood comes into the compound, because the clients of these projects are basically living around here. 1/3 of the spaces goes to is rented out to local businesses, which is very important, because the district Wedding is a district that has all these effects of work that disappeared in the recent decades. And so having running businesses is very important. In the first place, it's a good sign, and then in the second place, it offers jobs, because they are employed people. And so also there are carpenters, there's a metal steel worker, there's electricians, a building conductor, and very, very kind of normal people that do their work. And 1/3 is rented out to arts and culture, and there's art studios, and there's musicians that have their spaces, and writers, journalists, designers. So basically, a lot of people in most of them rent small spaces. So it's also this quite a vibrant part of the project. And here you can see a little bit of what are people doing here. We did a lot of small films on the people that are working on the compound, and you can all see them on our internet site if you want to see the film. So they are very, very different people working, and a lot. And the best thing that could happen might be that there are collaborations. and that there's a network beginning which among the people. But even if this doesn't happen, because people are only maybe busy with what their own work is, there's also this kind of atmosphere on this compound that you know, these people are kind of commenting one another, because sometimes they are so different, and there's this kind of also atmosphere of critique sometimes, but also a lot of people feel it as a compliment, because it's just a picture of the whole of society. And apart from what people work on the compound, of course, Ecuador is a space that wants to make things possible. So there's the first thing that we made possible from our part. We opened a cantina, we installed a cantina to have one meeting point on the compound, and which really changed the feeling a lot, because people start to know each other. And people bring in ideas what they can do on the compound. We have a project space that can be rented for any kind of workshops and seminars and conferences and music events. And so there are a lot of quite interesting, actually, conferences took place in the recent 2 years. And So we like to, be seen like this, that it's a kind of platform that people can bring in things also from the outside. And also the cantina, there are sometimes things happening like this jazz and Indonesian food workshop. And we have a lot of visitors actually from abroad. We do tours from abroad, but also from the nearest neighborhoods, like the pupils from the nearby primary school. So it's quite open, and we try to also communicate the project in the nearest neighborhood and like much wider. Yeah. And to come to an end with this, I think for artists it's very important. Looking back, this view that is very, very fundamental to the project is that we installed a construction that lasts longer than we will work on Ecuador print. You know, this what's happening there now has a framework that is quite that's very stable, and that will last for, I mean, this is always a nice picture, 99 years. And within this framework, people and generations also after us can fill the content, but they can't like push it all away. Like a lot of projects like this, it would happen that at one point it's going to be sold and then it's just disappeared. So this won't happen here. And the long-lasting aspect is very important, and we have this the feeling that our artistic approach kind of hit a bump in reality. And within this bump, just things work differently. And that's the nice thing about it, that you really could, from this the interest that you have as an artist, you could design a piece of reality, and it came to life, and it's there. And it's also, maybe it's not only art, it's also just what it is. So this is what we wanted to explain, or how to describe it, because it's for us also a special surrounding to explain it like in a defined art context. And that's also why I focused a bit on this artistic perspective. Thank you.
Question.
In the beginning, did you what
No, but maybe we could. No, we didn't, but maybe we would have. No, it was. We saw it just coincidentally, and we thought like, oh, we want to be in it. And then we, it was kind of forgotten. Even the city who was renting it out at the time didn't really know which spaces are rented out and which are free. And so we were really after it, and we rented in the beginning just one room in the building, and afterwards we rented more. But we just rented it. The contract was with the city, with the district basically, because at that time the district was a typical kind of interim usership that would come to an end when an investor would come.
And it still belongs to the city, and you give some money back every month, you pay something now after the tax?
No, we don't have it as the heritage building rights, which is like a long-term lease. We don't have it with the city. I think the city could have done it, but they didn't want to. They wanted to sell it, and instead we negotiated the price. And there are two foundations that bought it. These foundations, I just mentioned this briefly. They bought it. The goal of the foundation is to prevent real estate speculation. And the same day they bought it, they signed a contract with us, with Exportprint, for 99 years. This is the lease, and this means for 99 years it's ours. And the city is ours, and actually the project doesn't depend on funding. Funding is welcome, but it works without funding, so it's completely independent. Which is a tough thing to do, but it's also very nice because we decide what we do.
Also the sustainability aspect of it, that you manage construction that way, that actually is long-term and that it can't disappear, and that monoculture actually could take over. So I think that's very clever.
Maybe one word to this. That's very clever, and I think it's also very good for the situation. But of course we also thought, we worked so hard on it, and we just didn't want to give this work away, you know. After a couple of years, this was for nothing. It was also just to stabilize the energy we already had put in, because of course it was years of work without any feedback and also without any money support.
It was also somehow a way to kill the risk that someone of the society just wants to sell his past, he bought for the liability. He has to.
Yeah, the difference between the non-profit company and the normal company is that the non-profit company, the partners make no profit. So if you sell your past, of course the partners put money in, that was also in our case like this, but if you ever decide to quit the company, you will get exactly the same amount and no interest on top. We only have partners that are willing to sign a contract like this.
And are all the workshops, are they all partners, or what is the condition that, or are they just acquiring space?
Yeah. The majority of all the people is just renting space, and some people are partners. Most of them are. Are also tenants, and tenants that are there as long as the project. So that were there in the beginning already. And I think at one point, from time to time there comes this idea up from other tenants to get partners maybe in the future, and I think also this might change in the future that there will be other partners, maybe more or different ones. So that's in a way open, so it's not as open as the association is, you know, this Verein is more, it has more kind of easy being getting a member and quitting it and this kind of, and that's also why we kept the association, to have this platform for people who want maybe also only for short term to be part of the development.
As a partner, do you have any legal or
like in every company like this, people have different kind of they have votes, and of course we have what do you call it, reunions, and where we make decisions. But in longer distances, like a couple of months in between, and the daily work or the weekly work does a smaller team, and that's and Les and me are in this team too.
Last question to this is,
yeah.
Are all the partners on the compound, or do you also have partners which are somewhere else?
We have two partners that are somewhere else. But the majority is on the compound, and these two partners, they just did it in a way as a fan. So more like this, more with the feeling, because they followed the process, and it's not this kind of, we have not an outsider as an investor, this kind of, we don't have this. We have really a feeling of partners, and two of them are not renting here, but but in a way it makes no difference.
Yeah, that's another question. As a project, you're kind of in between art, architecture, city planning, and social projects. In the 90s in Berlin, it was quite trendy to deal with gentrification and all these questions, especially city planning, urban questions from beyond here. Yeah. And how do you manage nowadays these projects who are kind of linked between art and architecture?
Yeah, it's nice that you mentioned this, because for our feeling is also that the perspective that we pursue in art is very much coming from the 90s. So when, I mean, this is the first picture we showed, that this is in the year 2000, so the 90s just happened, and we moved in there in a group of, like an interdisciplinary group with architects, designers and photographers, and we always had this, what in the 90s happened a lot, this kind of network, and art goes into different disciplines, and I think that's a very important background from where we came from. And for a while, when we were working on the project, for a while there was not so much interest in that this could be seen from the art perspective. For a while it was, maybe it was also a bit too complex, or I don't know, but since maybe 2 years or something, people really start to ask, the art scene starts to ask us. I think that there's also something happened among the art scene that's maybe not really due to the project, because the project just is what it is, but the reception was a bit, became suddenly a bit different. And this kind of broader view on possibilities of art that might create new approaches in reality, and just to agree that this might be a potential of art, I think this applies to the viewer. He has to decide if he wants to see it like this or not. I don't want to decide it for that for anybody, but it's one last thing, this is gentrification and city planning. In this context, we are asked a lot, like almost, this is a bit too much. So this is because this discussion and this discourse is very heavy in Berlin and in Germany right now. Of course, we are very often asked because of the model and because of the possibilities to generate a development, but not the usual gentrification. And of course, because we are financially independent and the city like gets big ears and thinks, oh yeah, you know, a bankrupt city just thinks like, oh, we have to rely on projects that can finance themselves. And so that's probably also why they're asked very often.
And your personal background,
We are both artists. That's where we come from. We have our artistic work, and we have exhibitions and less is more like a concept artist. I do videos and different kind of work. I just say it like. It's a quite narrative work, and for example, he also did once a video where he costumed as he imagined the architects of these buildings, and so that's this, what I said in the beginning. Some of the work, the artistic work, and it sort of emerged a couple of times. For me, I do different work, but more from a painting, but it's very spatial to it. There are also so many connections.
And I think the whole approach to exploration is very artistic, and you also mentioned that in the other possible words, catalog, which can be bought at the reception. But you say nicely in the publication that you say there's an advantage when strategies of art are applied to the project, and that you actually also use methodologies of collage and working on different levels of meaning, etc. So, and I think that's why it's very great to have you in the context of this exhibition as well, because that's exactly also what we're looking at other possible world proposals. So this other utopia, looking at art initiatives or potentialities that actually do help or do make a difference in reality, and maybe also to quote you from the catalog section, that maybe you with this project you can catch a public, an audience, which then can affect the press, and the press then can affect politics. So it's a very efficient medium also to maybe do change things and to do make a difference.
More questions?
Yeah, I would be really interested in knowing a little bit more about the process of actually getting the bees, and you know, how difficult or easy it was, and how did that actually, you know, work out for you? Was it the ideal, you know, case scenario, or would you have done it differently? And if you could just talk a little bit about that.
Thanks for asking this. I think it's a very important question. It's also very concrete, this one, because it was a difficult process, because first of all, it was the price that was named in the beginning was much too high. The first price was 2.5 million, and I mean, we saw that this is difficult, but it was such a strange process, because at one point you just realize they are just bowling with numbers. We really saw this price falling every year, and we negotiated it, but it was really due to this Icelandic investor that it was, you know, it comes an investor from Iceland. happened. Who knows what he's doing now? At the time, probably was still rich. He wanted to buy a package, like 45 buildings, and this and price like was suddenly the price for waterfront was very cheap suddenly because in this package. And because this failed, this the Atlantic investor didn't buy anything in Berlin, and we knew how much he would have paid for waterfront. We just put this number on the table, and it was only 600,000 in the end, only. And we knew, okay, with this we can deal. We could have managed it with the bank loan, for example, which would be usually we do it like this. But we also know that banks sell mortgages, so we all learned this in the recent years. And we weren't completely lucky with the construction, especially because we had, I think we could go one step further. And this step were the foundations that we happened to get to know in the whole process. I didn't know before that there are foundations in Germany and the other one in Switzerland that had the goal to prevent real estate from speculation, and that they work on different alternatives, that they promote projects that install alternatives. And this was also a very interesting contact, of course. And they were very willing to do it with us because they thought our project is very interesting. Also because we were not attracting only the educated level of society, that would be normally their partners, but that our project is socially so diverse. And so, I mean, in a way it's a business deal with the foundations, of course, because in the long run they earn a lot of money with us, even more than maybe a bank would have earned, because we pay the lease for 99 years and not only until it's paid off. But with this money, Exodus is always in a circle, and the foundations, they will spend it on the next project to support them, to buy a ground and to give a lease, and, you know, so that we like this idea of this circle. And so, yeah, I think this was our favorite, to do it like this.
So the companies make profit, the two companies?
Which own companies,
maybe? The two companies that are partners.
These are foundations, yeah. They are foundations, and they, as foundations, typical, they are also non-profit. Foundations are non-profit. And they, the income they are having is spent to follow their goal, which is to enable the next project to do something like this. Yeah, this is very complicated altogether, but it's also very interesting. And we think it's a kind of model that could take place elsewhere, and it should in a way.
But you also consulted a lot, as you mentioned before. A lot of people from abroad actually come to visit you, and you have a lot of international press with the model, etc. Right?
Yeah.
You are already sort of a model for this.
Yeah. But the scene is quite small. Then, yeah.
Okay. And maybe one.
Yeah, klar.
Which I only learned by your project, for example, you even went to the Bundestag,
the Berlin Assembly, yeah. No, when you do projects like this and you don't get through in politics, and we negotiated the price was so high, and we wanted to push the project further, and we found out that in Berlin you're allowed to go into the house, the assembly house, and while they have conferences, and you have to write down what you want, who you want to meet and why, in which context, on a yellow sheet of paper. And then there are people that go in the conference and hand over silently the sheet of paper. And I mean, they are not obliged to come out, but a lot of the politicians we have came out, and just we had a small talk in this kind of cafeteria they had there, so one after the other, and this was quite interesting for us also. You know, a lot of things one don't know. You know, what are the ways of democracy, for example, in this city? I didn't know about this, that you can really face a politician with this, and that there's a way to do it. And that day we talked to some people. I mean, I think we spread the idea further. We didn't meet that politician that really pushed it further, but a lot of people knew of it afterwards.
Sorry, that's what I'm asking again. I didn't fully understand the discussion. Why couldn't the association e.V. do what the GmbH did? Because Marian and Trias, they're not part of the GmbH.
No.
They gave the money for buying.
Yeah.
And why couldn't it sell? Because it's also from non-profit,
yeah,
and nobody's gonna walk out with more narratives and stuff.
Yeah.
To get no money and then follow because it's for a civil institution.
And we don't
have any possibility to do this
capital.
the
liability capital. You know, this. We thought about doing it as the association, the e.V., but it's a much weaker construction. On one hand, the Vorstand, what's that? The board is liable, like privately.
Yes.
That's quite something to take up this risk with a million projects. And then our association wasn't non-profit, which is funny. The company is non-profit, but the association is not non-profit because it's only open to tenants. It's not open worldwide, and this is why they didn't gave us the non-profit status, which is no problem in a way, but we wanted to have it like this. And I think the limited liability company has more stability, and it's a partner for example, we took up a building loan over 2.5 million. And this wouldn't be able with the association, not with ours and this constellation. There were quite some practical things behind it, so of course we found our way through it.
I think let's go into more details later.
Do you want to stay here or do you want to be closer to
me? No, I'm good.
Yeah.